This morning, I'd like to share with you the topic, a gift so great and perfect. A gift so great and perfect. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Very short verse. It says on the screen, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So in this chapter, the Apostle Paul was speaking about human gifts given. The church in Corinth was taking up offering to send to the poor saints in Jerusalem. Paul commended them for their eagerness in giving and reminded them that those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. And also those who sow bountifully will also reap bountifully. Then Paul shifted his attention, his focus, from human gifts given to the giving of God, to God's gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then when he think about this gift, he could not find word to describe it. He simply said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. A gift so great and perfect. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. No variation, because he is a light and he does not change. He is steadfast. There is no shadow of turning, meaning no darkness in him, because he is the source of light. We are talking about a gift so great and perfect. He is a source of light. Light speaks of holiness, goodness, wisdom, knowledge, grace, hope, God's revelation. By contrast, darkness speaks of evil, sin, despair. In John 1, verse 1, John 1, verse 1, very well known verse. In the beginning was the Word. I want you to take note of the word, Word. It has a capital letter, capital W, and that speaks volume. And the Word was with God, with God. That shows plurality in the Godhead. And the Word was God, one God. Make a note of those words. The word, Word, with the word with God. Verse 4. In him was life. Sorry, verse 14. We want to read verse 14 before we get to verse 4. There's a reason I juggle the verses like that. And the word, which is the eternal word, became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 4. In him, make a note of the word him. So this word is not a letter or just a little word. It is a person. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That light was the light. Verse 9, that light was the light, true light, which gives light to every man coming into this world. Every man. So we can see that this gift is a gift for everyone. Everyone. Unfortunately, Judas did not accept this gift. And we know about his story. The Bible said it was better for that person to have not been born. That's what happened when one rejects the gift that is so great and perfect. It's not an ordinary gift. That gift was the light of men. Why light? Because we were in darkness, in a world of darkness. Darkness speaks of evil, sin, despair. All that's bad. But God loved us so much that he gave his only son to rescue us, to redeem us, to restore us, to reconcile us unto a holy God by sending light into this world. Light, which speaks of holiness, goodness, wisdom, all that is good. John 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. All right, so in John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So Christmas brings that good news that the light of the world has come. Emmanuel, God, is with us. And we read that the Word took on flesh and dwell among us. That little baby in the manger, wrapped in swaddling cloth, as we read in Luke 2, verse 7 to 20, that was read earlier. He is the light of the world. That little baby was omniscient, knowing all things. All the miracles that Jesus performed while he was adult, that little baby could have performed all the miracles. He had no limitations. He was God in the flesh. And Christmas is a time of the year where we celebrate. It's not mandatory for us, biblically, for us to, that we have to keep this day. But we know that the communion was what we had to keep. But it's a good notion to celebrate Christmas. Christ coming into this world. It's a very good notion. So human can't live without light. In nature, the sun is the source of light and energy to all creatures. Plants need sunlight to make their own food, their own nutrients for growth. In technology, energy from the sunlight is used to produce electricity through what is called photocells. Our risen Lord and Savior is the sun and substance of Christianity. Our risen Lord and Savior, he is the light of the world. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is and who was and who is to come? The Almighty. He's the Almighty. We're talking about a gift so great and perfect. The Almighty. And he being the Alpha and Omega, he has authority over life and death on earth, in heaven. It is in Jesus we find our origin. That's where we come from. In him we find our meaning, why we are here. In him we find our purpose, how we should live. In him we find our destiny of life, where we are going. Don't ask your ancestors nor scientists about your origin. You know they may tell you about the monkey business. Don't ask them about our origin. They're going to tell us that we are monkeys. That's what they're saying if we come from monkeys. Don't ask your teacher about your meaning. Don't ask your friends about your purpose. Don't ask a psychic about your future. Having an ultimate relationship with Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, is enough, because he is the author and perfecter of our faith, as we read in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Jewish people were looking to God to send a Messiah, a deliverer, to save his people. But Jesus himself claimed to be the promised Messiah. In John 4, verse 25 and 26, he talked with a woman at a well in Samaria who said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Amen. Jesus, we are talking about a gift so great and perfect, a gift for everyone coming into this world. He said, I am he. What did the woman do? She left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things I've ever did. Come, see a man. She encountered the gift that was so great and perfect. She left her water pot. Can you imagine or wonder, why did she say to Jesus that she know Messiah is coming? Why? She just said that to him. She was standing before that gift that's so great and perfect, and she sensed something. In John 1, verse 40 to 42, Andrew had his encounter with this gift so great and perfect. Andrew, a disciple of John the Baptist, after he became acquainted with Jesus, the first thing he did, he went and found his brother, Simon Peter, and told him about the exciting discovery, a gift so great and perfect. Andrew told him, we have found the Messiah, the Christ, and he brought Peter to Jesus. But the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has proved that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, God's chosen and anointed one who came to deliver us from sin and Satan. The resurrection is powerful. In John 1, verse 29, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John said, behold. So the annual ritual of sin offering made for atonement of the Jewish people could not remove one sin, not even one. And this was done over and over, year after year. It only foreshadows the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God. What a gift so great and perfect. This perfect Lamb of God has accomplished his mission to take away the sins by laying down his life so that he may take it back again. You see how powerful Christ is? He has the power to do this because he is the resurrection and the life. He himself is the resurrection and the life. So Christians have no need to worry about death or whether you're going to wake up back. I wonder if God is going to forget me somewhere down there in the grave. He is the resurrection and the life. And so we have confidence in Jesus Christ, full confidence. Those who have not known Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you're wasting time by not accepting this gift so great and perfect. If you should die in your sins, or Jesus come and you are left behind, the saying would go for you as well. It would have been better that you were not born. Regardless of all your achievement, all your education achievement, material achievement, you're on top of the world, you're a president, whatever, it would have been better that you were not born. If you reject this gift, so great and perfect, and be lost. So Jesus, in John 11, verse 25, 26, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. You believe in me, though he may die, he shall live. Many people read this and cannot understand, but the normal man will not understand this. Verse 26 says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. You know, we have all been constantly reminded that death speaks of separation. When you die, so to speak, you yourselves don't actually die. You have been just separated from this physical house. When you are in Christ, you shall never die. You will go in the presence of the Lord. If you are dead in your sins, you're dead indeed. You will not be going in the presence of the Lord. That is death. And not to mention eternal death, which is the ultimate death. Total, complete separation. No hope again to be in the presence of God. Terrible. So the doctrine of Christ's death and resurrection is the foundation of Christianity and forms the cornerstone of our faith. It is by this faith we live, and it is in this faith we die. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4 tells us that the gospel of the Christian faith would be useless if Jesus did not come back from the dead. Useless. So, at the communion, yes, we remember the Lord's death, but at the same time, we remember his resurrection. Because if he had not been risen from the dead, our faith would have been in vain. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that we would be still dead in our sins. He said, but wait, you're alive. But dead spiritually. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, did they die? Yes. The word of God said that if they ate of that fruit, they would die. But it was not physical death at the time. It was a spiritual death. Separation. And that is why Jesus Christ, the gift so great and perfect, came to this world to redeem us. to remove our sins. But we can only have these sins removed by accepting Jesus Christ, the gift so great and perfect. It is the resurrection that set every believer free from sin and gives hope for the future. Jesus Christ is a living gift. Living gift. He is a source of living water. He is a source of living water. What a gift so great and perfect. In John 4, verse 14, Jesus said, "Whoever drink of this water that he shall give will never thirst, for this water will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So we cannot live without water. We need water. In fact, about 60% of the human body is water. But this water is subjected to dehydration. And so we have to replenish this water from time to time. But unlike the water that Christ gives, not subjected to dehydration. Praise God. And that's why the gift is so great and perfect. The first step we must take to drink water is to open our mouth. But with the living water, we open our heart. Many people will be going to hell with their mouth wide open and their heart closed, because they're still in need of this physical water and have rejected the living water, which they will never thirst again. The spring that we're talking about is the work of the Holy Spirit. What are we thirsty for these days? Is it love? Is it attention? Is it money? Is it fame? Once Christ is in our heart, he will satisfy our deepest longing, and our focus will change from self-centered minds to God-centered desires. You will never be the same person again. A brand new creation. And many people have been holding back that they're not ready to accept Christ as their personal savior. All they need to do is to just make a bold step. They, not knowing that they will never be the same. Just make that bold step. Your whole perception of life will change. Everything will change. You'll never be the same person again. No wonder Paul, after his conversion, he said, "It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Amen? That's found in Galatians 2, verse 20. In John 6, verse 35, Jesus said, "He who believes in me shall never thirst." Not only does Christ satisfy the thirst, but he also satisfies our hunger. We're talking about a gift so great and perfect. He is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. John 6, verse 35, or verse 33, rather. John 6, verse 33. And we're finishing up. "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Remember we read James 1 verse 17 earlier? We said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He is the bread of God who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats this bread, he shall live forever." here again to eat the physical bread we open our mouth, but to receive the bread of life we open our heart. It's always the heart. You see, the spiritual is just different from the physical. All one needs to do is open one heart to accepting Jesus Christ. He will do the rest. He will feed you with this bread. He will quench your thirst with living water. In verse 35, the last verse of the message, and Jesus said to them, that's the multitude, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. So in particular, bread represents source of energy to run our activities. So here we clearly see that Jesus is the source of life who provides our daily bread. A gift so great and perfect, we do not have to work for this bread. We only need to believe. So far we have looked at Jesus Christ, the gift so great and perfect, as being the Word, the light of the world. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's Messiah the Christ. He's the Lamb of God. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the source of living water. He's the bread of life. He's the source of life. Earlier, initially, I had said many people, they consider the quality or cost of the gift. If we should look at the quality of this gift that I'm talking to you about, what can we say about the quality? Indescribable. Indescribable. If we are to think about the cost, what is it? Priceless. And for some people, it meets the particular need. Well, this gift meets the ultimate need of mankind. That's why he is so great and perfect. And we also said that some people measure the gift by the motive in the heart of the giver. If we should look at the motive in the heart of God the Father who gave his Son, what is his motive? He has good motive to rescue us, redeem, restore, and reconcile us unto a holy God. May God bless you all. Have a wonderful Christmas. Thank you.